The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball.
I do think they still have a chance, but I'll say it's all going to come down to that derby, and I think United sort of has that confidence at the minute.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite. Yeah!
12 minutes past 8. If you want to get involved in the conversation this morning, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. We have Sarah Donovan and Ryan O'Dwyer with us to talk about the weekend's hurling. Obviously, specific interest in both Tipperary and Cork, but also the Dubs. You were at the Dubs game for us.
Yeah, I was at the Dubs game. Just the fight from Dublin, and they seemed so reassured on the ball. Ref made a very good go at the game, except for one incident, which was the very controversial penalty. Now, it was a penalty, but the save, it was a save, but he gave it down as a goal. My heart went out. Like, it was a big turning point of the game. Wexford were up by 3 at that stage. If that goal didn't go in, would it have been a turning point? I think, yeah, possibly, but I think Dublin were gathering a bit of momentum, but it was definitely a kick in the teeth. Like, that speech on any given Sunday, the Al Pacino speech, where it's all about inches, like, literally, it's all about inches there. Like that, the ref said it was over. It was on the line. Where we were up in the stand, I genuinely thought it didn't go over the line. But then the ref called. He was much closer. It was the umpires ran in. Now, I don't know where they're running into to get a look at it or whether they said it. But play developed and then they called it back for the goal. It was only after the game when we were chatting to Keith Rossiter and a few people down over near the dressing room, and we saw a replay of it that it clearly hadn't crossed the line. So, look, I don't know, the smaller grounds, you don't have your Specsaver sponsored technology.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a big call now.
Hard to put chips and slitters given how many of them disappear. Maybe there could just be match day slitters that you do it for, I don't know, and then the goal line technology, but it would be very expensive for everywhere. And but from a Dublin perspective, we move on to the rest of it. They're up and running in Leinster with back to back wins. I must be looking at everybody else going, actually, you know what, we've got a good chance of getting out here now.
Yeah, oh, certainly. Look, they've bet what they had to beat so far, 2 out of 2. Like, they still have Antrim to play, still have Kilkenny to play, still have Galway to play. No disrespect to Antrim, but you see look, Antrim won't be easy in 2 weeks' time. They're going up to Corrigan Park, which no one likes going to. You see at the weekend there,
they,
I know Kilkenny won, but yeah, Kilkenny were only up by a point at half time. Now, I know they pulled away in the second half. It was, I think, from the 48 minute on, they scored like 2:13 to a point or something like that. But Antrim can certainly make it difficult for you. So Dublin will be aware of that going up to Corrigan Park. If they can get over that, then it's Kilkenny and then Galway the last game, which, you know, not that they need to, right, they need to win the Antrim game, right? The way it's going, you would fancy Kilkenny to get to the final.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to hold back against Kilkenny or anything like that, but if they get bet against Kilkenny, it's not the end of the world, and then target the Galway game. Because Galway, after, it would be more or less a straight shootout. Well, depending on how Galway get on with Wexford in 2 weeks' time, it will be a straight shootout between Galway and Dublin to see who gets to the Leinster final. So I think that's you target the Antrim game, and then you target the Galway game after that.
All right. All those games, the Dublin hurling matches, are live on 98fm.com/upthedubs. So Tommy Rooney, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Ger. Very well. Very well. Yeah. How are you?
What was your experience of that like?
It was, yeah, we were in a WhatsApp group, Ger. And you know me, sometimes I have the chest out. And, you know, I tell you what, I was incredibly proud up to the hour mark, regardless of what happened. And that seems like a strange thing to say, but I think after 15 years of being beaten down and battered and broken and convincing yourself that you have a chance and just falling apart, I was like, well, they've done enough so far. And that's the wrong attitude to have. But It was the fact that they hadn't wilted in the second half. It was the fact that when the Dubs came charging at them, they went charging back. And it just felt like they needed a score or two. And I was looking at the bench and Meath have had a couple of injuries. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we just don't have enough on the bench. And they've got a forward line of Paddy Small and Cormac Costello and Conor Callaghan and Kieran Kilkenny and Lorcan O'Dell, you know. They've got enough here, like. So surely the Dubs are going to do what the Dubs have done and just drive us down. But Ronan Jones makes a fetch in midfield. He comes off the bench. He ripped a hamstring off the bone a couple of months ago. Comes off the bench and makes this unbelievable catch, and he gets dunted after it, hits the ground. And Meade work a huge opportunity and they don't get a score from it. But then in the next attack, Meade win it back again and they go on the attack and they turn it over again. But what do the Dubs do? They turn it straight back over. And that happened four or five times in the second half, where I just think it was the perfect concoction, Jair, of... And Robbie Brennan said this afterwards. He said, it wasn't the same Dublin team, but it wasn't the same Meade team either. And Meade had got themselves into the position where when Dublin were sloppy and when Dublin were off it, Meade were able to take advantage. And Jesus, what a way to do it. It was such a gutsy, proper Meade football performance.
It's really important to note that, because there's probably been times where Dublin have been somewhat complacent heading into this fixture, and likewise against other teams in Leinster, and the opposition have been beaten before the ball was thrown in. Sure, what's the point? You know, it would have been in Croker and whatever. But actually, that transformation in Meath, it's probably not going to get talked about enough, and it definitely won't get talked about enough unless they actually go and win the Leinster final. But where did it come from? When did it start? You had a little bit of hope as the league went on, which I think maybe as the league went on as well, you lost a bit of hope, and then there's all the backroom controversy and it's like, oh, this is just going to be another lost year. But actually, now it's not.
Yeah, it's. I think it's when you're close to a county and you know the people involved and you know that there's a lot of really good stuff happening. And Jer, I'm sure you can see this with Kildare, and I thought Kildare played some unbelievable, brilliant football yesterday. But what it was more so was maybe a teaser at the potential that some of the young lads like Bolton and Dalton and these 20s boys have. Sinky, like, these boys are ballers. But Loud showed that they're where they are as a team and their experience shone through in the last little while. But we got a glimpse of the potential of Kildare. And over the last couple of years, with the underage success, with the right people working in the right places, and with the footballers that have stayed together, as a Meade fan, you've seen a lot of positives. But at the same time this year, with all the positives, we saw them go and kick 20 wides and lose to Cork in round one. We saw those wides rear their head a little later in the league. We had all the talk about Meade being big men, but they weren't winning breaking ball the way they should have. Do you know, I was going on, I was watching Meade teams and I was like, yes, I can just about see it, but I can also see what we're missing. But yesterday, like, forget about the two-pointers and the tackles and the turnovers. Like, 5,418 days ago, they put five goals by Cluxton. It wasn't goals yesterday. It was how to destroy this kick out. And I think what Meade did yesterday was they actually set the template for every club team in the country, for every county team that's an underdog, that it just shows you that under these new rules, when there's so much chaos and people are trying to figure out how to play it, that if you're brave, if you're aggressive, if you're honest, and if you have the skills, right? And Meade had the skills in the first half and in the second half against the wind to score crucial points and also to use the ball well under pressure. But if you can do those things, you've got an unbelievable chance in this sport at winning. Like, regardless of where you're coming from. I think Meade won 13 of Cluxton's first 18 kickouts.
That's mad.
So they stuck five goals by Cluxton in 2010. And in the first half this year, they only let Dublin win five of Cluxton's kickouts. Like, to me, that was the template. It wasn't the fact that we had a massive win behind us and we were 12 points up and we'd left a couple of 2 points behind. It was how to eat them alive. And in the second half, and we talk about the calibre of footballer that's coming through, and Meade and Loud are playing now in a Leinster final, repeated the 2010 final. But this shouldn't be a flash in the pan. Meade and Loud are now meeting in back-to-back Leinster under-20 finals on Wednesday night. And that's a big thing in the county, for both counties. It's huge. Meade were underdogs going in against Kildare last week. A young Kildare team, as I mentioned, there was good things happening in Kildare and in lots of counties in Leinster. But again, another gutsy meet performance in horrendous conditions to get over the line. Against a loud side now, who we mentioned last week, had been battered at the gate by that Dublin side at minor level. And they turn up and produce a phenomenal performance last week to beat them. So I just think the signs are there for these two counties that, and I think it's going to be an unbelievable occasion. Like, there's so much colour involved with Meath and Louth. There's so much of a rivalry there. There's so many chips on the shoulder. There was a message put into a WhatsApp group. A buddy of mine who I play with in Cratlow, Conal O'Hanlon, good Louth family, got married on Friday night. And we were all up with it from Cratlow. And there's been a couple of messages into the Cratlow group already trying to get the crack going between Meath and Louth lads. But Uncle Tom's already in Louth, had a photo up of Joe Sheridan's goal and saying, lads, we're trying to fill the bus. There's 108 seats left. I have buddies already in Meath Hill trying to organise buses from the barracks up to Crow Park. Like, this is what you need. This is what football needed. And I don't think it was just Meath fans that were excited yesterday. Kerry fans were excited too because they want the Dubs as third seeds in round one in Killarney. And everyone, I think, is looking for the Dubs.
Liberation Day, Tommy. That's what you're saying.
There's a bit of that. There's a little bit of that.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now. Take a detour from the ordinary. It's time to get diverted.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
Join Owen Shahan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly or whenever it comes to food.
Available for free on all Off The Ball channels.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda, see.
Tune in and get diverted on Off The Ball.